Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Finolex Chemicals Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. We have on the call with us today Mr. Sanjay Tibrewala, Executive Director and CFO, Mr. Arindam Chaudhary, CEO, Ms. Aarti Jhunjhunwala, Executive Director, Mr. Bharat Modi, Strategic Advisors, Investor Relations. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Aarti Jhunjhunwala from Finolex Chemicals Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Seema. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm delighted to extend a warm welcome to each one of you for the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Finolex Chemicals Limited. The financial statements and the presentations have been duly provided on both the stock exchange and our official website. I trust that you've had a chance to review them thoroughly. In the face of challenges posed by the present macroeconomic landscape, Finolex has started FY24 on a strong note. As we specialize in the development of high-performance chemicals, our strategic measures are driven by the dual goals of both growth and sustainability. We believe that these strategic measures will not only contribute to substantial growth in the coming quarters but will also reinforce our position as a market leader in the chemical industry. With an ever-expanding range of offerings, we strive to provide value-enhancing resolutions to our customers. Our journey in the chemical industry is defined by our commitment to excellence, innovation, and the creation of a sustainable future for generations to come. We are also pleased to announce that this is our second consecutive year of being recognized as a Great Place to Work. This achievement is a reflection of our consistent commitment to nurturing a workplace culture built on trust, transparency, and collaboration. Now, I would call upon Arindam Ji to provide an overview of our operations.
Thank you, Aarti Ji, and a warm welcome to one and all. Finolex is a well-diversified company with an extensive array of product portfolios. Our journey commenced with the production of specialty chemicals for the textile industry, as you all are aware, and subsequently expanded substantially into related products for niche segments like cleaning and hygiene, FMCG products, and oil and gases. As a part of our commitment to the value-added offering, we offer high-end customized solutions to our esteemed clients. This approach is underpinned by the trust our customers have in our products and the brand equity we command in the market. Our expertise in research and development through our R&D facility, particularly in the manufacturing of eco-friendly and sustainable products at overseas facilities, has served as the driving force behind our expansion in numerous significant international textile hubs in recent past. We are thrilled to announce that our product, HGBK, has received approval and recognition from the United States Environmental Protection Agency, short term is EPA. This is a non-heavy metal-based antimicrobial treatment that has received EPA endorsement, a testament to its excellence and adherence to stringent standards. This recognition opens doors for its application in various textiles and fibers across more than 70 sites, thereby broadening its scope and impact to the textile chemical industry against competition of our fellow competitors. Our timely exploration into engineering high-growth products such as hygiene and drilling specialties has positioned us with a substantial potential to effectively engage with India's leading detergent manufacturers and premier oil and gas companies. I now request our Executive Director, Sanjay Tibrewala, to guide through the quarterly performance of our company. Thank you, and a good evening.
Thank you, Arindam Ji. Our financial performance, quarter one financial 24, has been remarkable, marked by strong growth, robust profitability, and significant improvement in cash flows. We are pleased to mention that our operational revenue for quarter one reached 1,322 million. Our EBITDA saw improvements in quarter one financial 24. EBITDA was 315 million in quarter one, representing a 20.1% year-on-year increase and a margin of 23.8%. Our profitability metrics also exhibited strong performance. In quarter one financial 24, our PAT was rupees 261 million, year-on-year increase of 28.7%, and the PAT margins are at 19.8%. Our ROCE and ROE was 35.3% and 28.4% respectively, underscoring the success of our strategic initiatives and efficient capital allocation. Our cash from operations to EBITDA ratio stands strong at 79%, reflecting efficient cash management in relation to the earnings. This highlights our commitment to optimal financial performance and operational excellence. Overall, our strong financial performance in quarter one financial 24 reflects our commitment to delivering values to our stakeholders while maintaining robust operational efficiency. In the future, our focus continues to be on fostering both growth and expansion. This entails not only diversifying our customer portfolio, but also broadening our product range across business segments. With this, we close our opening remarks and will open the call for an interactive question and answer session soon. Thank you. Over to you, Seema.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. We take the first question from the line of Kush Tandon from Ananta Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, Sanjay ji and team. Congratulations on, again, a consistent performance over the 7-8 quarters that we are seeing the company. Sir, quickly, just one question on the environment. I understand chemical prices and raw material prices have started to firm up a little bit. Also, on a year-on-year basis, our revenue has been flat, but again, the margin has increased. So I'm assuming that we have gained benefit from the raw material pricing. So an overview on the overall landscape. How are you seeing things on the raw material and the environment in general, sir?
Thanks, Kushri. As such, basically, there has been a decline in the prices of the raw materials and basic raw materials globally in the last quarter. In fact, let's say in the last 4-5 months. And this is one of the reasons I can say that most of the chemical companies must be, having difficult times compared to the China things. Luckily for us, the projects of the kind of business model we have is we are in our solution driven businesses wherein we buy commodity chemicals and we produce our own solutions for these specific performance for the customers. Let's say this has helped us in having a better, let's say, EBITDA margins also. And these things definitely happens whenever there is a, the price reduction in the raw materials. We don't have to pass on that much decrease to the customers and we retain the cushion out there. So this is what we have experienced in the last quarter. Having said that, in fact, I can also say at the same time in the last 15-20 days, it seems that again the prices, the freight price cost and other things are also, I can say that the bottoms of the raw material prices have been in the past now. I don't think that is happening anymore now because all the things are again rising up in the last 15 days or let's say last 30 days as we are talking. So I think going forward, the prices of the raw materials should not be going below where it is today. This is the kind of environment we all are into right now.
Thank you for that, Sanjay ji. Also, if you can just give us the volume mix for the quarter in between home care and the textile business. Also the revenue number. If you can just share those mixes of volume and revenue, that will be helpful, sir.
On a global, it happened in the last year also, the almost major volumes were in the detergent cleaning FMCG businesses. This is the same kind of thing where we have almost 60% in the cleaning FMCG businesses, the volumes I'm talking about. Also, if you calculate in the terms of revenue, this is almost touching to 42% at the moment in the FMCG sector. Broadly speaking, that sector is also growing up quite rapidly for us, and this is one of the reasons this business has been faring very well. The cash flows are also being quite healthier because of the FMCG businesses, which has grown up dramatically in the last 2 years.
Okay. Sir, just one last question, if I can just ask. Have the two large orders that we had in the FMCG business, have they stabilized on a quarterly run rate basis? Because we understand that it takes a couple of quarters for numbers to stabilize.
Yeah.
Just wanted to check on that, sir.
Yeah, these big orders have been stabilized now. At the same time, we have been adding too many more number of customers in that product segment, and we are quite happy the way the kind of response has come from the customers and the industry as such. Going forward, I think that business is to grow more, the FMCG businesses. It is also because the kind of product customization we have, understanding the needs of the customers, and going forward for mediocre level customers as well as the big corporate customers, there is a lot of, let's say, a lot of opportunities which we are excited about in that segment. I think going forward, I can mention that this will become more than 50% of our businesses in the coming times.
Okay. Noted, sir, and all the best to you and the entire team, sir.
Thank you so much. As for the volumes in that business, let me also, I think you had asked this also, the volumes are already above 62% in terms of volumes, the FMCG businesses, because the per kilo prices are generally lower than the textile chemical businesses as such. As such, from the volume point, it has already exceeded the textile business this way.
Sure, sir. Noted the same. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Khush.
Thank you. Before we move on to the next question, a reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Anirudh from AV Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Yeah, Mr. Anirudh. Yeah.
Sanjay, congratulations on a great set of numbers again, as usual. Sir, my first question is, sir, we just got a circular about the QIP that you are planning to raise, so basically the equity dilution. That is to the amount of 300 crores. My first question is, the last time we spoke, we had around 120 crores of cash on a consolidated level on the books, and plus this quarter again. Approximately 150 crores of cash and then still needing to raise funds. Why is that?
I just would like to mention this resolution is a blanket resolution which we have been covering always before the AGM, and that you can check in the last 3 years, 4 years also. Let me also mention, it is nowhere mentioned about QIP or anything as such. See, basically, this is something which we can call it as a yearly, I would not say routine, but this is a yearly proposed thing which the board does to the shareholders before the AGM. As such, let me be clear about the, like we have done international acquisitions in 2011, post our IPO. As soon as the IPO had happened, in the 3 months' time, we had deployed that funds to buy Biotex, which is a European-founded company producing specialty high-end chemicals in Malaysia, which we have been able to have great synergy about, and the kind of performance and the kind of let's say, the confidence the management has in digesting international acquisitions has led us to believe that there can be a lot of more inorganic acquisitions which the company should be looking at in future. However, having said that, as such, we are very cash disciplined and we are very much conscious about the deployment of our cash flows, and we are very much efficient about the allocation we do. So if at all we find any such interesting company which can give a great synergy to the overall Finotex growth story, and that can also be in the businesses of cleaning, hygiene, FMCG, specialty chemicals, we would be, and also the kind of valuations which are, if it is attractive enough, we are very much conservative in that terms also in giving a particular value to these companies, inorganic targets. So by and large, we keep an eye on that kind of opportunities always. But I would also like to mention that any kind of such acquisition, if at all we do, or anything like that, it will be EPS accretive from the first year itself. So there will not be any kind of EPS, down on that basis of new addition of shares or anything, if at all this happens and if at all it is approved by the shareholders and things like that. So this is a question which I covers, I'm just trying to circulate on that and just mentioning all the ideologies which the management has on the acquisition inorganic front as such.
Right, sir. So from what I understand is that as of now, it's just a blanket resolution where you've just taken the approval and there are no immediate plans to raise any funds as such.
Perfect. This is perfectly well understood.
Okay. My second question, sir, is regarding the Ambernath facility. Sir, in the previous call also, you mentioned that there is ample of space in Ambernath facility for expansion, right? So my question is, sir, could you just help us out with, translating into per tonnage? So for example, our total capacity now is 104,000 tons, right?
Yeah.
So how much of capacity expansion could we get into Ambernath facility in terms of per tonnage before we've got to, expand to someplace else? Approximately.
See, you must be knowing, our capacities are fungible. In the same kind of capacities, we can produce all the kinds of specialty products, whether it is going for FMCG, cleaning, hygiene, or textiles, all oil and gas, things like that. However, we will always like to have some more space and expansions going forward. At the same time, the current location of Ambernath, the new one which we have just started 16, 18 months back, we have proud to tell you that we are quite satisfied in informing that we already touched more than 70 to 75% utilization in that place already. At the same time, yes, there is space for capacity expansions that has been looked into already. But as such, it's not only the productive capacity expansion, there is always a lot of utilities and other storage and other areas which has to also be taken care of. And there can be also opportunities which will also be shaping up for some extra joint ventures opportunities from foreign companies. And as you can see, the kind of, Make in India concepts, the entire world is looking at another venue other than China to produce their specialty chemicals or source or do a joint venture about. We have some exciting things also being worked on those lines as such. So we would also like to have, we have to be ready for that. When we started the Ambernath project, that was in the first part of the COVID, 2020 first quarter. That was the time which was the most unpredictable quarter of, let's say, for any company in the world. And that was the right decision which we have done in the month of August 2020. And we started the acquired the MIDC plot by November 2020, and in 1 year we started by November 21. That's only almost 16 months or let's say 18 months from now, by now, 18 months or so. So as such, that was also a right decision which we did that time. So in chemicals, one more thing we need to keep in mind, there is a lot of time which goes for the government approval systems, this and that. So we always have to work not for the current year. We have to look what is the picture of 26, 27.
Right, sir. Exactly. That is why I asked. Because the last thing you'd mentioned that if we have to expand Ambernath facility, it's going to be relatively easier for us because we do not have to take fresh approvals as most of the approvals are in place, right?
Correct.
That is exactly why I was asking that what is the capacity in terms of per metric ton that we could achieve inside the Ambernath facility?
See, right now we have almost 61,000 tons capacity is already engaged in Ambernath right now. And we can also expand at least 20-30% in that area itself, in the same premises as such.
So roughly around 20,000? 20,000 tons?
20,000. Yes, yes.
Okay, sir. That is what I want. Okay. Thank you so much, Sanjay, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm sorry, I couldn't get the last question, please. Can you repeat?
Sure, sir. So we have lost the connection for Mr. Anupam. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Aditya Mehta from GK Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So just wanted to know what was the volume number for the current quarter?
The volume number for the current quarter was 16,200 tons, roughly, which is almost 63% of the capacity.
So it was lower than the Q4?
Yeah, on some grounds, yes.
For the current year, where do we foresee our volume and revenue numbers current year?
You mean the financial year 2024?
Yeah.
Now, can you repeat your question, actually?
Where do we see our volumes and revenue number by the end of FY 2024?
As such, see, I would like to mention here that in the last, let's say, almost 8 or 10 quarters, we have been growing our volumes and the profitability by minimum 25% broadly. And this is something which we have been looking at the way we move forward. There have been certain year quarters in which we have gone to a level of almost 40-50% growth increase also in terms of volume. But I think now things are getting very well stabilized and in control. We are looking at almost 20-25% growth every quarter-on-quarter basis also.
So the current environment, if you see the demand, is there a slowdown in the textile segment or a hygiene segment? Because we have got orders also from FMCG for our FMCG business.
See, what happens, generally speaking, in the entire, let's say, in the business chain, whenever there's a drip in the price and such kind of prices where caustic of 70 rupees is becoming 33 rupees or something like that, the flip side here happens is that everybody starts reducing the inventory. And this happens globally. Everyone in the world will do that, even for us. So what happens is instead of keeping 2 months volume, every 2 months requirements, everyone will start storing 15 days or 20 days requirements. So I wouldn't say that is a, let's say, a realistic demand shortage or something like that. The consumers are buying as much as they want itself. It is more about inventory control and reducing. And also, if you notice, in the last 6 months, there was ample amount of the shipping bookings and other things easily available. So that has also made the companies reduce their inventory flow. This is something which happens sometimes. Again, it picks up. So broadly, and always, let's say, April, May, June is one of the comparatively slower months of the year. And this is nothing big. As such, we have increased our PAT by 28%. The volume has gone up by 20% broadly if you compare year-on-year basis for the same quarter. So I think this is something which is quite good enough what we are looking at. So the volumes have gone up. The volumes have gone up by 20% year-on-year basis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any guidance towards the EBITDA margin number?
I have been also mentioning we were always expecting to maintain the EBITDA margins close to 24-25%. And this is what is exactly reflecting even in this quarter. So I think going forward, the kind of and also would like to mention that a lot of cost and other new business development cost and explorations and sales promotion are already expensed out in the books already. So I think, yeah, this is some EBITDA levels that we will be quite comfortable to generate always, which is 23-25% broadly as such.
Okay, sure. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Anupam Agarwal from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity and apologies for the network error. Congratulations, Sanjay, on great numbers.
Thank you.
First question is on the utilization. We've touched about 62% this quarter. What are we looking at in terms of ramping up utilization this fiscal 24, given the demand situation we see in domestic and export market?
See, as such, our volumes has gone up by 20% year-on-year basis. And also, like I have mentioned in some of our con calls, these volumes sometimes takes some time to stabilize around. This is something which has been stabilized by now. Effectively, there has been also, like I also mentioned in the last our reply, that there has been a price drop in the raw material prices, and this generally has a trend of lower inventory levels and things. And now in the last 15-20 days, already we can witness that, you know, the prices of basic chemicals, also crude in that sense, is starting to pick up. And whenever there is something going, you know, getting up higher, the volumes and other things also does increase. So I think generally speaking, it won't be difficult for us ever to do a 25% year-on-year growth going forward. So this is the kind of, you know, and our company is mainly driven on solution-based businesses. And the more and more FMCG businesses we attract to, this is more like a COVID-proof businesses. And, you know, these are the things which generally doesn't have too much effect of the global slowdown or anything, whatever we call it. So I think conservatively 20 to 25% PAT growth and volume growth, this is something which we are doing also and always looking forward to perform.
So FY23, we closed at about 55,000 tons. So 20% is above 65. So are we on track to do that?
Let's say looking at this quarter, there was a slightly not in that exact line as such. But if you would also notice that in, we have been able to have almost the same kind of revenue generation in spite of this, in spite of some, let's say, raw material price reduction and things. And also our EBITDA has been much better than before percentage-wise and also the PAT. I think going forward, there can be, if not 25% increase, but at least we can expect 20 to 25% increase on that line.
Understood. Coming to this raw material situation, last 6 months we've seen some sort of inflationary pressure. Have we also taken price hikes, and if yes, to what extent?
No, actually there has not been any price hike. There has been price reduction in all these chemical products by and large. But in the last quarter you are referring about, right?
Yes, last quarter.
No, there has not been any price hike because see, as such, generally all the chemical prices have gone down, whether it is caustic or acetic acid or acrylic or whatever base we can talk about. So as such, there has been no price hike happening in that sense.
So the price reduction that in your opening remarks you mentioned that we've not passed on completely the reduction in raw material to customers.
Yeah.
And we've, you know, retained some part of it. Ideally, what percentage drop have we seen in raw material and how much have we retained from that?
See, as such, we have, like, we are depending on so many product lines and so many kind of raw materials. And so it is very difficult to pinpoint. But if you talk about the average general way, so let's say our realization, if you compare from the last quarter and this quarter one, quarter four and quarter one has fared almost similar in volumes, almost similar in realization, almost similar in the turnovers. So, and almost similar even in the, you know, almost similar in the, you know, percentage of the FMCG and textiles. It's just a matter of 2 to 3% plus minus. Mm. So this is something which I can say has been well done considering the low demands and things like that, which we have been experiencing in textiles over the period of 6 months. So, but going forward, I think the prices will go back upwards. This is what is the trend happening now in the chemical industry as such.
Understood. Lastly, on the capacity, so I remember for the 21,000 tons in Ambernath, we spent about 27 crores capex. Incrementally, for the 20,000 tons, what will be the capex per ton, roughly?
As such, it will be around 20 to 25 crores on the higher side as such. And of course, we have a lot of Intel accruals and cash on books. So we'll be taking care of from that itself.
Understood. And beyond this, we will have to then look out for a future expansion or a new land or...
Well, this is something which we would like to do it always. We would always look at such kind of opportunities wherever it comes, because these opportunities do come, you know, in for chemical space. You have to be quite looking forward for such things and also planning for 3-4 years down the line. And so I think if something attractive comes, we will definitely look for it.
Lastly, if I may, how many new customers have we added in the FMCG business last quarter?
We have added a lot, and also we have the, you know, the business head coming down from Dow Chemicals itself, who had joined the last quarter only. And he was the business head there for last 13, 14 years. Dow is one of the global biggest specialty chemical, as we all know, and they are one of our key co-producers in the FMCG product line. Interestingly, they do not have a plant also in India, so they are importing all the goods from, earlier it was Europe, I think now they are bringing from Southeast Asia and things like that. And so there is a lot of addition happening on that line, and this is a constant process. In fact, not only adding customers, but adding products is also happening. More and more number of solution-driven products have been introduced. I think this is something exciting where we are going ahead for.
Understood. That's it from my side, Sanjayji, and wish you all the best for coming quarters. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Anupamji.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Neerav Jamuvia from Annual Research. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. So I have two questions. So one is, sir, you mentioned in the earlier remarks that like Dow Chemicals has been joined us for the FMCG business. So, and our exports are also in a way currently at a lower level compared to what we sell in the domestic market. So my question is that, let's say our capacity utilization currently in the FMCG business is close to 70-75%. So is there a further scope of innovation within our product portfolio where probably we can retain increase the margins or increase our realizations from the current levels so that it helps us improve the per kg margin? So one is the operating leverage benefit, which we will get once we ramp up the plant. But one is the product innovation within the product basket, which could help us improve the margins, one. And second, is there a scope for setting up or putting up a dedicated line for some of the export customers, which could give us some high value margin products, which could ultimately take our average realizations up and hence the margins? So this is question number one.
See, I would like to mention to you one important thing. There are definitely additions on product development in the FMCG sector, which we are already doing. Now, these are more solution-based driven product lines in which, let me tell you, like textile, when it, for so many years, for last 10 years, we have been talking about sustainability. We were with we went with biotech because of sustainability in 2011. We were one of the earlier movers of those days. And that was the time when we were going and explaining all the biggest textile companies of India that you will have to get sustainable and water saving, cost saving, number of part, time, labors and other utility costs. But they were not ready to get into all these things. But this happened in the last 5 years, where all the, if you hear the speeches or anything of the biggest customers, the directors and the top management of the companies, most of them are only talking of sustainability in textiles. This is because eventually the situation has come now where sustainability is the only way to grow for textiles and textile chemicals. Now, we were the earlier movers. We have been talking to them. So it takes time for the industry to change over. Now, in detergents, it's a $50 billion market as such. Now, in this market, at the moment, there is hardly any company still looking at sustainability. Now, as you must be knowing also, that Procter & Gamble have also claimed that they are going to reduce or stop fossil fuel-driven crude oil-based ingredients in their product line from the year 2026. And also Godrej and other companies are already working towards developing certain products which are already, having a soft trials going on in the markets by the name of Mr. Green, Mr. Blue or something like that. So ultimately, there is going to be a huge new market for companies like us to provide solutions to this $50 billion market of detergents to make them more sustainable. right now Unilever has also started working on product lines in which they are not using sulfonated products coming from palm PK oil things which are coming out from the deforestation area of Malaysia or Indonesia. So this is also initiative which HUL has started doing. TNG has made a rule that they will not use any kind of such products from 2026. Now to get the right efficiency and also to fit in the right pricing for the consumer's cost, because all these sustainable products should be cost neutral to the end users. Basically, that's the aim. Now just imagine if even 10% of this business line starts diverting into sustainability, the way textile has diverted. Textile today, I can tell you almost 60% market in the world, or maybe not 60, it should be 70, is totally sustainability. In that sense, if you don't have the right certifications, European factory product audits, product certifications, all the economical and ecological product lines, they will not even buy the product, they will not even try the product even if it's performing better. If supposing this thing happens, may not happen now, but maybe happening after 10 years or 8 years, this opens even 10% market will be $5 billion market where we will be addressing to. Now going forward, what is happening, the population in India is like such a huge mass here. It will take time for Indian markets to absorb those kinds of strategic ideas of sustainability and things like that. Let HUL and PNG go up. And so we are working towards those kind of product lines which can help them to, you know, give them some solutions, reducing their, let's say, exposure to basic things, let's say reducing their soda ash in the product, reducing their, let's say, time taking for this. In the cake bar, if they want something which is more free flowing, we can give some kind of ingredients. So these are the kind of businesses which we are looking at already. And this is something which is helping our company to have such kind of opportunities. And we are extremely excited, by the way, on this business line, not from today's point of view or the last year, but if we talk about 2025, 2027, I think this will be the new era for the FMCG businesses, which has to be quite sustainable from where it is today. I'm just trying to, give a detailed explanation to all the participants today on this line. It's not only addressing to you, actually. But this is the kind of direction we have found out, and this is the kind of space which has been, we are working on those lines.
Correct. And sir, if we see even our R&D spend, like before 3-4 years, we used to spend close to 1 crore. Now we've been spending close to 3-3.5 crores on an annual basis. So just wanted to know here, is our R&D more focused towards the process innovation, or we spend more towards the product side of the business? Because I think what I could understand from you is process innovation takes a center stage while developing the products, and then the capacities come, because our capacities are fungible in that way. So how is our R&D skewed towards?
See, our first R&D is based on customers' requirement. To achieve, we make their challenges as our goals. Now, after that, how do we improvise on their efficiency and product lines? Most of the times, it is more application-driven things also. And in applications, it is also important that we do a lot of trials and errors, not only at our end, but also at the customer's end. Because that is the way the companies are running and functioning, and that is what we have to prove ultimately to the customers. Developing product lines and making modification is the next step to it. And this is also, it goes concurrent actually as such, but it is not either and or. It has to move together. That is the way this achievement can be done on the targets.
Got it. And sir, last question from my side is, is it possible to share, let's say, for a customer, if the total value of his product is, let's say, X, how much is our wallet share for each of the business, and how much it has gone up over last 4-5 years? So let's say before 4-5 years, as a solution provider and as a product supplier, we may be at, let's say, X level. So where we are at currently for both the business, if you can share some qualitative feedback.
See, I can just give you a business model, how do we function. Let's say I can give you a broader idea about it. Let's say textile, as I've been talking many times, there are 4 processes, 25 different specialty chemicals required. But keep in mind, none of the customers will give you all the 25 product lines. And what is our strength is finishing. Today's finishing is almost 60%. I would like to mention that also. It has increased from the previous quarters. Our volumes of finishing has gone to 60% at the moment. I'm talking of textiles right now. Okay. And that directly means that this is the most prestigious, important, critical and sustainable business for the company, and also obviously profitable also from that point of view. So this is something which we have been focused upon. So we love to prove the customers the finishes, try to match what they are trying to achieve. And then this is the kind of solutions we provide. So if we get an opportunity, it is the finishing first, then we can spread to the dyeing and other areas. However, keeping in mind that the customers are not going to use all the core, you know, they're not going to use all the 25 products from us. And that's the point actually, but we are in the most critical product lines and we're happy to be there in terms of textiles. And that wallet share does increase, you know, step by step. And this is something which we have been also able to achieve. Another question you had asked was about the, you know, the export dedicated industry and line, having a separate line for exports and things like that.
Yeah.
I would like to mention there is, these capacities are fungible even for domestic, even for exports, even for making FMCG kind of polymeric products or any kind of esterification, sulfonation, polymerization and sulfonation. So these product lines are already, our capacities are well, you know, it's fungible enough to have any kind of reactions for any kind of industry. So that has been, we have been doing. We don't need a separate export line or anything like that for that matter.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Got it, sir. Thank you so much for answering the question.
Thank you so much. Thank
all
you.
The best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. And if there are some more questions which are not yet answered or any more queries you have, we are quite open to answer all these questions. You can contact our investor relations or our team. We'll be happy to give all the informations, whatever we could. And we will be having our AGM on in the next month, 15th of September. Hope to see you there. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Finotex Chemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.